Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Yeah, buddy, Football Friday, Sports Radio 610, Seth Payne, and in for Sean Pendergast this morning. I'm Sean Bajani. Great to be with you. If you'd like to be a part of the show, 713-572-4610, 572-4610. You can call or text the 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. So, Seth, per request, also, we were going to get to this anyway, but you found some Stephen A. Smith audio.
I didn't have to go far to find it. Multiple people sent it to me.
Like, we want to hear
it. I found it in my inbox.
I'm sure. Probably multiple times. Stephen A. Smith's, reaction to Nick Caserio and his reaction in defense of their guy, Azeez Alshire, after the Trevor Lawrence hit. It'd be interesting to hear this because I purposefully have not listened to it because I knew we were going to do this. So I always like to have my initial reaction, especially with you. So go ahead and set this thing up for us, man. What are we about to hear?
Okay, so Stephen A. Smith and Jeff Saturday were on ESPN yesterday or the day before, and we're lighting into Nick Caserio specifically, calling it an embarrassment that Azeez got a 3-game suspension because of the consistency, the lack of consistency in the way the NFL doles out these punishments. And I think one key thing that we need to remember is that Caserio never said that Azeez shouldn't be suspended. His issue was with the 3-game suspension and the seeming lack of precedent for it. Denzel Perryman was suspended 3 times last year, or for 3 games last year. It was reduced to 2 games. But for a guy who had never been suspended or ejected before, that's the issue that Caserio had. Here's Stephen A. Smith on what he thinks of Nick Caserio asking for consistency from the league.
You going to go in front of the reporters knowing your player was warned 7 times? So you're asking for consistency. So how about the word appreciation? The fact that they didn't suspend him before. Are you saying they should have suspended him earlier?
Right.
Because basically what you're doing is maligning and excoriating the league for finally doing what it should have done earlier.
Right.
Now, if the man didn't do anything, he didn't commit any violations prior to that, that was different.
Right. So, again, Caserio never said he shouldn't be suspended. Caserio's issue was the severity of the suspension. And I saw this all over the place, people acting like Caserio was some wild, out-of-control lunatic who thinks that Azeez should be able to act with complete immunity to the laws of the land because just for whatever, when that's not what he was ever asking for, and you cannot find evidence of in Caserio's press conference. Mm-hmm. And yet, Stephen A. Smith is using it to make Caserio just his bludgeoning tool for what all he was asking for was consistency. I just don't get it. And by the way, Ben, I sent you an actual audio file this time of Jeff Saturday, if you can check that. Usually, this is what happens on the show. I try to make Ben's job easier for him, and I end up making it way harder. So I sent Ben video that he then has to convert to audio. This time, we'll have some Jeff Saturday.
Hey, but that's why Ben's. Thank you. That's why Ben's Ben. He can handle that. He's badass. Yeah. So,
that's the part that drove me crazy. And Stephen A. Smith went off for like 3.5 minutes on basically saying that Caserio is a clown and a fool for a guy that has had five penalties before. The seven warnings is interesting, but he's had five penalties in the variety of either late hits or unsportsmanlike conducts or what have you. The issue that Caserio has is that they went from 0 to 60 very, very quickly, whereas there's multiple other instances of guys who have had multiple offenses and ejections before they get before they get suspended for a single game.
Yeah,
and that's the sum total of it. So ESPN got 10 minutes of content out of basically attacking a straw man argument of something that Caserio never actually said, which is that, oh, he shouldn't be suspended at all. Caserio never said that.
And it's so impassioned, so emotional that, and look, we all understand what Stephen A. Smith's real job is and what he does, who he has been, who he's become. He exacerbates a lot of things. I mean, I've got multiple examples on YouTube and the text line this morning. Hey, go ahead and pull up the 2017 clip of Stephen A. Smith on the Flacco slash Alonzo hit where he said it's a fine, no suspension and nothing else, and the quarterback should avoid the hit, like had a completely different stance. Like, I get that example too, though. Granted, that was 7-8 years ago, so opinions can change. Ours do all the time. I know, speaking for myself, my opinions change sometimes on the daily. I just sit and consternate over things, and you know what? It's like, yeah, I could see it from this side too. But I got this from, you know, one of our loyal listeners on Twitter, Seth, Michael Beckman. You probably saw it. He says, I appreciate Nick's outrage and fans getting pumped up about it, but I believe his job as GM was to try to do everything in his power to get the suspension reduced. Call me crazy, but to blast the guy making the decision wasn't the right way to do it. I've seen that opinion multiple times, and
yeah,
this is an example. I just told you about opinions changing. This is the latest example of, you know what, my opinion maybe not changing, but totally understanding another side of it. Because I, like many, I love the fact that DeMeco rallied behind Aziz. He's done that before. I fully expected him to do it this time, and he did. Nick Caserio, done the same thing. I love the impassioned speech that he gave before the Q&A session with the media the other day. But, you know, I fully expected really Nick to say, I'm going to reserve comment on this until after the appeal has been heard, and then he can lay into whatever he wants to. Because I do agree, I do think, rather, that if Nick doesn't go scorched earth, you know, on the NFL and John Runyon, I do think there's probably a pretty good chance that the suspension was reduced to 2, which I thought would have been appropriate.
You think that that Caserio may have been prematurely excoriating?
I think he fanned the flames.
Well, and that's where, I mean, the statement by John Runyon, I think, that kind of questioned Aziz's respect for the game and all of that, and all the coaches and all the fans and all the players, that's what was fueling a lot of that. And I think that it's twofold. One is that I think that Caserio wanted to show support for Aziz Alshire. He's not allowed to talk to Aziz Alshire, and maybe this is the only way for him to get that out there. But, I mean, ironically, I was upset that John Runyon delivered that statement without ever having spoken to Aziz Alshire, and before there was an appeal or anything else like that. Likewise, yeah, maybe Caserio should have waited until after the appeal. And then in that instance, okay, you got to hold your water for a little bit and then maybe deliver the diatribe after that.
Yeah.
I can go there. I just don't like the mischaracterization of Caserio as a guy that was saying there shouldn't have been a suspension when he never once actually said that.
Who's John Runyon's boss?
Roger Goodell.
All right. So here's what I think is probably not going to be talked about until it needs to be talked about. Like, there's maybe Runyon's not in that position anymore, but maybe there needs to be multiple examples of this, and maybe they find that there is. But John Runyon's job in that role is to sit back, watch everything, investigate, talk to, and do everything he can to make the most sound judgment call possible. Mm-hmm. To me, that clearly didn't happen. That was a guy, after reading that statement, felt like it was typed out like 15 minutes after the fact, because it read emotional, it read personal to me, and I don't think that is at all the essence of the job. And I think that's why Nick was pissed, because every finger was pointing at Aziz. Mm-hmm. Nothing was, you know, talking about like, well, what exacerbated it? What about Evan Engram? What about Jerrion Jones? What about, you know, Scherf, like who, you know, was following D'Amico and Will Anderson and Aziz to the concourse. You know what I'm saying? Like none of that was explained and we could all see that on video.
And I know that there are Texans officials who are unhappy with the answers or complete lack of answers they've gotten from the league about that for clarification. Mm-hmm. That's where I think the frustration and D'Amico and Casario's part on D'Amico and Casario's part comes from, like, okay, you're delivering this, but it feels very arbitrary if you can't answer these questions we have about why is our situation different from others.
Yeah.
The melee being a big part of it, I feel like you don't go from taking something that's typically, when a guy's had multiple offenses and then gets suspended for the first time, usually it's a one-game suspension. Denzel Perryman was an exception. Kareem Jackson has been, I think his suspension was reduced to 3 games last year. That was after he'd been suspended once before, though.
Yeah.
So like the first time suspension is typically 1 game. I don't see that the melee, which the Jaguars fans were also, or Jaguars players were also responsible for, being something that you get suspended 2 games for. That part of it bothers me. This is the part that really bothered me about Stephen A. Smith. This was his preface to discussing the actual topic at hand. This is how he primed the pump in this discussion. Stephen A. Smith on Casario being an embarrassment himself.
When he mentioned the word embarrassment, the first thing I thought about when the name came to Nick Casario was how embarrassing his tenure was before he lucked up and got D'Amico Ryans and drafted C.J. Stroud. Because prior to that, one would argue that his tenure there was embarrassing and disgraceful with the coaches he kept pushing in and out the door and all of this other stuff. You know, I got on national television just so y'all know, fellas, and was like, I'm talking about, you're a black man looking to be a head coaching job. Don't talk to that man. I was nervous for D'Amico Ryans. I said, he's just using you for a year and they're going to kick you out the door.
Okay, which was odd to me because he brought up as a way to prime the pump, like, hey, I used to criticize the Texans for something that turned out to be wholly incorrect. And yes. Now the black football coach for the Texans is the guy that I also disagree with in Nick Casario. I didn't get or understand or respect that line of argument whatsoever. Like,
where
okay. Hey, by the way, I used to criticize him for being an embarrassment for hiring black football coaches until he lucked out and hired another black football coach. All right. All right, Stephen A. Smith. Whatever. It was hard. I had to hit my space bar and calm down a little bit before I listened to the rest of his arguments that came after that. I just like that's where I could see from the very beginning he was not operating in good faith on this. So, A, he brought up his own flawed perception of the Texans as evidence that Nick Casario can't possibly be a good GM because I used to say he was embarrassing for reasons that turned out to be wholly incorrect, okay? But then also, he's criticizing and jumping on Nick Casario for saying something that Nick Casario never said. Nick Casario has not once said that there should be no suspension at all. It was about the severity of the punishment and everything else that went along with it.
Right, because it focuses on the details. They're not worried about that. They're worried about like the emotion and what gets people riled up and what had gotten them riled up. Without listening, in all, we make fun of this all the time, right? Like it's hard to sometimes listen to the words that come out of Nick Casario's mouth. But if you really do listen, like he says sometimes more than what you think. And mm-hmm. I think for people that don't constantly, parse Nick Casario's words and listen to the responses, I mean, we get a chance to hear him multiple times a week here in Houston on this very station. And so for people that don't talk Texans, don't focus on them, like, they're not really listening to the words. They're hearing a guy up there in front of the media and cuss and speak impassioned about a situation that was inflammatory to the entire league and fan bases around them, particularly Jacksonville. And that's what they're preying on, in my opinion. And that's what Stephen A. Smith's shtick is, has been and will be. It's to move the needle and to get people talking. So if you want details, you're not going to Stephen A. Smith in terms of that being a particular source.
Well, and that's where, you know, Jeff Saturday isn't that guy. Like, he doesn't operate on the same type of methodology as Stephen A. Smith. Mm-hmm. Here's Jeff Saturday on Caserio being evidently an embarrassment.
Basically, what Nick Caserio is doing is saying, you should have punished my guy. You shouldn't have given the tolerance that you gave him,
right,
which is ridiculous. You, as they had talked to that man a number of times. And when you talk about the warnings, five warnings, and then two fines, and then five more fines without ever being a suspension or an ejection, and that's your complaint, that's laughable.
Right. So again, that's not what Nick Caserio was saying. That's all right. You guys have delivered a very effective and eloquent argument against something that Nick Caserio never actually said. It's so what he was saying there at the beginning was, like, basically, both these guys made this point, was that, okay, Caserio, by pointing out that, you know, they hadn't suspended him before, all he's doing is looking a gift horse in the mouth and saying, like, well, no, look, they tried to warn you, but you guys didn't listen. Why are you even bringing that up? Well, because the precedent had been typically that usually it's a one-game suspension, and that's the sum total of it. It's not that he shouldn't have been suspended at all or anything else like that. So, and I think that there's even a lot of people on Caserio's side of this that, or Texans fans that don't realize that. I anticipated that he was going to get a one-game suspension at least. I thought that the three games would be reduced to two. Yeah, I do wonder. I'm with you. I wonder if both Caserio and D'Amico being as combative as they were, especially because the melee had been cited,
yeah,
if it ended up becoming as much of a team punishment as it was an individual punishment, that maybe they would have reduced it to two, but then with Caserio and D'Amico doubling down, which they could have done after the appeal,
yeah,
that almost made it impossible for the league from a PR standpoint to dial it back.
Yeah, and look, it would have been really hard for D'Amico to wait until after the appeal because, yeah, you know, look, he's spoken to minutes after the loss, or the win, rather, after the game. And so he's got a lot of emotions that he's already kind of had to quell and then share immediately to the media. And I never expected D'Amico to do that because he hadn't done it before. And I think you could get away with his reaction as impassioned as it was. But Caserio, again, in hindsight, like, yeah, if which one of you, it was you or Sean, I think, yesterday on your show said, hey, if you injected, you know, Nick Caserio with truth serum and asked him if he would do that again, I think his answer would be no. Wasn't it Sean that asked that question to you?
I think so, yeah.
And I fully agree with that. I don't think he would have done the same thing. I think he might have done the same thing, but waited until after the appeal because I agree with Michael Beckman on Twitter. You know, it's not necessarily his job, but it turned into it because he had his availability and he very well at least could have tried to kind of quell, you know, the fire. At this point, you can't put the damn thing out, but you can try your damnedest to get that suspension reduced. And his reaction in words didn't help the matter.
The other thing that bothered me in the segment that they did was that they did something that happened after the Astros scandal, which was they acted like D'Amico had never actually even criticized the hit itself. So likewise, remember, we still to this day have to listen to people falsely claim that none of the Astros players ever genuinely apologized to it for anything, because after that weird press conference, that they didn't air any of the lengthy interviews that guys did in which they expressed contrition and everything else. So to this day, people in baseball media will still say, well, they never actually apologized. That's bogus. It's false. Mm-hmm. Likewise, on that show on ESPN, they said, well, and D'Amico never even criticized that. Yes, he did. He said, we don't coach it that way.
Yeah.
Like, that's not, it's 100% false. You're lying because you're misinformed. But you're lying because you don't know and you didn't watch the entire press conference. You're aware that you don't have all the facts. So I'll call that lying because you know that you're uninformed. And they almost, like, they tried to backpedal a little bit and say, like, well, did he? I don't think so. I don't think so.
Wasn't good enough for them, right? It wasn't convenient for their argument.
Yeah.
All right.
What we really need is for somebody to just really have a dirty hit this weekend and take some of this. As we get past the bye week, I hope there's a really dirty, vicious hit against the quarterback, who's honestly, I don't care about them. screw brain matter. I'm done with it. It's never done me any good. These fancy lads playing quarterback, whatever.
Oh, my goodness.
I own your brain matter, damn it.
That is Seth Payne, Sean Bajani in for Sean Pendergast. Coming up next, we'll get into what's ahead for the Texans coming out of this bye week of 14. And are they actually in better position right now than they were earlier this season? I'll explain next at Sports Radio 610.